is for homeless people. So what? Another person gets a place to sleep and food to eat? That doesn't seem like a bad thing to me.
And Mike, where did you come from? New York? Well.
Yeah, I agree with Becky that it to me seems like it's a method of swaying public sentiment in propagandizing the notion of homelessness, that it is just a morally abhorrent thing to have and to help them other than put them inside and control how they live, make them components of a larger system with God knows or whoever knows how many rules they have, such as in HUD housing, all the kinds of ways to control your lifestyle. It's just easier to get rid of this problem right now by telling the public that it's strange to think of wanting to live outside. It's not the way to be, and to get people to believe that and to look at homeless people in such a dark way, they're never going to want to see homeless people. They just are going to say, get out of my face, I don't want to see you, be inside or else you're not worth my time. It's easier to get rid of an immediate problem by making everything wrong and horrible and not doing anything about it.
I'd like to mention that downtown, most of the panhandlers that are down there aren't a part of the back 40, their ISSP shelter, that they are just alcoholics and they do sleep under the bridges, and that maybe that's created a problem for this whole town. I don't know, but to sweep them under, send them out, well, go ahead, go buy them some bus tickets and send them somewhere. But don't pick on the people here. I've never panhandled in this town. I'm in this town now for a year, and I'll tell you what, I was told here to come here 25 years ago because this was a progressive town. All I see is digression. I've seen the worst I've ever seen.
And you are on the air with the mushroomic Becky Johnson of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, Coral Brune, whose last name I never remember, and of course the infamous bathrobes peer Robert Norris. We have an incoming phone call here. Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hello, happy New Year.
Ah, this sounds like Just Man Jim Costner.
I just wanted to congratulate you on a really good show.
Well, thank you.
And I wanted to know if I could make a statement in support of the homeless people.
Sure, you can.
I think it's, I'm sick, so my articulation is a little bit difficult, but I think it's incredible that a Marxist, a socialist, the mayor, Mike Rodkin, I don't know what Marx he's been reading or what he's been studying, but the man needs to be taught about compassion and understanding. And as far as Scott Kennedy, who is a supposedly great peace advocate, is just the epitome of hypocrisy. In terms of the homeless people, all people, whether you have a house or not, are human beings. Everybody needs shelter. Everybody needs food. Everybody needs respect. Everybody needs love. And it seems to me that the city council are doing what city councils all throughout the country are doing, and that's spreading a whole wave of anti-homeless hysteria aligned with the merchants, aligned with the upper echelons of the power structure that are creating a whole wave trying to turn the middle-class people against the homeless people and trying to divide the homeless people themselves, the so-called good homeless people, which are the homeless people who don't resist, don't speak out, don't break or don't go against the status quo, against the homeless people who will resist and who do have strong feelings of going against the status quo. And I just want to say one last thing. I heard, I don't know what the man's name was, made a comment about how the
mushroomic,
the alcoholic panhandlers, perhaps they are causing problems. The problem isn't alcoholic panhandlers. Panhandling isn't a crime. It's not a crime. To ask somebody for a quarter, that's not a problem. Alcoholism is a problem, but that's not a problem that needs to be dealt with by the law. Alcoholism is just a disease.
I completely agree with you. I said it from a place of what they think, not how I think.
Okay.
I mean, this is what they're trying to do to everybody, and who they're picking on and why. And I think it's the whole town in a whole looking at it, yes. And you know what? Acupuncture has now found the cure for it. So it is curable through acupuncture.
Yep, I agree with you. And I think that that's part of what the how the power structure retains its power is by keeping us divided. So I'm just really concerned about when I hear fellow people start looking at other people in different ways, that we all are people and we all need to stick together and stand together. And that's really the only hope and the only solution to solve these problems, is that more and more of us coming together and seeing each other as equals, as
good
fellow
point.
People.
Good point.
And Happy New Year to all of you.
From us all the way to the mayor. Thank you.
All right.
Don't go yet, Jim. I have a question for you.
What's that?
Were you downtown last night?
No, I've been sick for 6 days, bedridden, unfortunately.
Well, I'm going to invite anyone who's been listening. I'm sorry you've been sick, big guy. Get some more sleep. To call in and to tell us what they saw happening last night in terms of any differential treatment between poor people and rich people on the mall, because I don't know if you were listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz last night, but Skidmark's Bob Duran was doing a show in which he was apparently discovering that poor drunks were being immediately arrested and taken away, and the rich tipsy folks were not suffering that kind of treatment. So I'm kind of curious if that's true, and I'd like to get some reports from all you listeners out there. And I want to thank you, Jim, for calling in. Anything more you want to say?
I listened to Bob's show last night. I thought it was a great show. And I just want to say one last thing, is that it's to be expected. It's not right. It's to be expected, though, that this country and this whole system is in a crisis. And we see historically that what happens is that they always need scapegoats.
Mm.
And I think that we should be very concerned about this. People have a hard time understanding the depths of how evil this power structure is. But people should know. And in terms of the homeless people, what they fly to today, which is just incredible oppressive conditions, is only going to become more severe under the system. And so people should be able to get prepared for that.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Uh-huh. Take care.
All right.
And that was Just Man Jim Costner, who has his own show on the air. I think it's usually before my show on, is it Fridays? I think it's Fridays, 9 o'clock in the morning. Maybe it's Mondays. In any case, it's you can stay tuned, turn in an hour early on both those days, and then stay tuned for my show, and you'll be able to walk away a full and realized human being.
I would greatly appreciate Jim's comments. There is no them. These arguments seem to always come down to us and them. There is no them. It's all us. There are no throwaways. Each person is valuable and precious, and we are responsible for the people that we see in our path. And Santa Cruz needs to get turned around on this issue. And obviously, our leaders are not leading us in the right direction. So, citizens who understand this need to come together and educate our leaders and point them in the right direction. This anti-homeless sentiment cannot continue to exist. It must be met. It must be met with reason. It must be met with the leaders or the prominent citizens need to come forward and protest this situation.
We need to organize too. I think though the New Brighton Beach campers have got apparently a temporary solution through an $800 donation, and that's nice. It's a way, of course, of taking the city council and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and perhaps all of us off the hook, because the overwhelming majority of homeless people who are now outside and now have only 56 church spaces and 150 armory spaces at max, if they can go indoors, they are to be ignored. They will continue to be busted under the sleeping ban. I was getting reports last night, people busted under the sleeping ban on the mall, taking reports on New Year's Eve. If you want to organize, however, to fight that kind of discrimination, and the discrimination that is its twin brother downtown, the hostility and outright exclusionary policies by merchants such as Stuart Martin of the ID building, such as Kevin and his Stuart over at the Java House Cafe, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, an organization to which I belong, concerned with civil rights for the poor, 423-4833. You can also, of course, give a call to this show, 427-3772. Our lines are indeed open, and we could use some of your lines. It would be very nice. You know, let's get some one-liners in here, maybe some, Al, don't call in, some other, voices than my own. And in order to do that, I promised you, perhaps I threatened you, with Jane Immler's comments. Well, here comes Jane, whether you like her or not, and it's going to give the rest of us a break and a chance to engage in a little early morning orgasmic activity.
Okay, we're still on the phone to Jane Immler. It's December 22nd, and it's about 8:15 in the morning. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Robert.
And we may have cut you off there. You were saying that the situation for campers may not be such a good one, that they're going to find on January 1st they may find themselves at the business end of a flashlight or something.
Most likely. Now, unless Mike Rotkin gave them some other type of suggestion about what was going to happen come January 1, did he?
No.
He did not.
No, not that I know of. I mean,
who's picking up the bill for this? Is the city?
City.
The city is.
That's my understanding. I think it's $1,500 is what they say. We calculated it to be somewhat higher, but it's hard to say.
I wonder why they didn't put them up in on that part, one of the state parks up there off of Graham Hill Road. Or that would have been much closer to Santa Cruz. Maybe that's obviously the reason.
Perhaps, although I don't know. It may have been logistics. You have an opportunity to call into the show. You might be interested in trying to call and talk to Mike Rutkin and ask a few of these questions directly.
Well.
And that is between 10 and 11 at least, I'm pretty sure. And if he keeps his original deal, then it'll be between 10 and 12 today.
Well, I would like to do that. Unfortunately, I'm going to be at a concert that my grandson's going to be participating in.
Oh, dear. Bummer in the summer.
What happens to one of the, when you're grandparents, you have to...
Yes, indeed.
But so anyway, so you've got campers up in New Brighton Beach. You got the media and the politicos hollering about them being dumped up there.
What should they do? And what should people in the community and other homeless people do to confront with this situation? We have a situation where there's an armory, which we are assured by Partner Namois Paul Merceau, as I call him, who's the head of the Open Air Shelter Program, 150 spaces in the armory and 56 odd spaces in the church. And he's also told me, sort of off the cuff, that if they want to go to the Watsonville Armory, there's another 100 odd spaces there. So,
well,
can anybody complain? I mean,
well, is there any? Has anybody given any consideration to loosening any of the rules around the armory situation, where people could bring pets, or they could put up dog houses, or they could let people put their tents? I mean, that's De La Vie. Isn't the armory up there by De La Viega Park?
I think it is, actually.
Why didn't they just move the whole thing up there? I mean, that way people would have access to the armory. They could still put their tents out. I mean, that seems like it makes a lot more sense, and it'd be a lot cheaper, actually. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense why they shipped them out to New Brighton Beach. How did the people get out there? Did they...
They sent city buses for them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they shipped them out with city buses, and it has been a very, very positive response from a lot of individuals in the community, bringing them firewood and food and tents and clothes and so forth. Not everybody is... Grinchish about homeless people out at New Brighton Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And the homeless people like to point out that they're not on welfare, that they're all SSI, not SSI, they're all Social Security people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are disabled, no doubt, SSI perhaps, but they're a different category than those other poor people, for heaven's sake.
Oh, good.
We want to make sure they're be part of the more deserving poor.
Right.
I find it rather contemptible, this attempt to separate homeless people and treat one group as an elite and another group, and it gets to, scamper for the bridges and so forth. But indeed, the campers that were sent out there are, didn't have much choice. They were told their dogs were going to be, they either had to go into the armory without their dogs or face the camping ban. And Rotkin showed no disposition to ameliorate the camping ban or make any provisions for the winter for them, other than this rather, in my mind, grandiose and temporary again, you know, it seems to have generated its own publicity and its own momentum. And as an old-time activist, what would you be doing if you were in Santa Cruz?
Well, that's a good question, because this is a very unique situation in that, you know, they took them out of the city of Santa Cruz and essentially dumped them out there. But now you're also saying that there is some positive response coming from the community to people that have been, you know, placed out there.
Now, they can't stay past 2 weeks. That's the regulation.
Right, right. So what are the campers out there thinking? I mean, have you talked with them? Do you know what they're thinking?
Well, the campers I've talked to some of them, and some of them who gravitate into town are, you know, really interested in the broader rights of homeless people and in demonstrations to kind of bring these rights to the fore in the Christmas season. And others really feel that they have, you know, they should work on their own needs and concerns, and they don't want to, you know, upset the apple cart. And they kind of made a deal. Part of the deal they with Paul Mercer, the head of the open air shelter, was that they would not come back to the property. Although in my mind, this deal has no force because it was made under duress. And it was made in violation of an agreement that Mercer himself, on tape twice, affirmed, which I played in my last radio show, Broadsides, Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Nonetheless, they feel it's binding. They feel they're honor-bound, apparently some of them, to, you know, not, for example, to return to that site, which is, in fact, vacant. You know, there are all kinds of wooden pallets sitting there waiting to be used, that it's right next to the homeless services. It may be wretched. It may be, you've considered it and described it as toxic, but at least it's available. And it's not being used, and it's next to food and showers and plumbing and other services. So there is that to be said for it, and it won't even be the subject of consideration for building until February, because the community house hearing doesn't happen until January 25th or so. Mm-hmm. That community house, of course, is the trailers project. I don't know whether it's 800,000 to 1.3 million. I've heard different figures. Anyway, it's way up there. It's around $1 million to transport donated trailers from Stanford and set them up and blacktop the area for 48 people to be able to use it at a cost of $200 to $600 a month. Although Daryl Darling has told some of the campers who objected to this whole idea that perhaps they could get in free if they were lucky.
No. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, is there any possibility that
Daryl Darling is the head of Community House Project.
Has anybody addressed to Mike Rotkin the possibility of what it would take to go back to the River Street site after Christmas?
I haven't, and of course I can raise that issue about going back to River Street after New Year's.
With some clean porta potties, and if need be, some straw.
December 22nd, later in the day, here's an interview with a man on the street who...
But that was Jane Emler we were listening to, and we are going to be actually going into another segment of the show in a moment. After a few comments from some of our panelists here, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Call-in number, and it's open, is 427-3772. You are on the air with Becky Johnson, Cora Broom, Mashrumik, and Uncle Robert Morris. The issue is... how many homeless can you hide under a bridge, or how many homeless can you dump off the coast? How many homeless can you get out of town, and how many homeless can you ignore? Questions the city council does not quite... Right, how many homeless can you cram into a community house trailer? Not too many. Anyway, here's Becky Johnson talking about another issue, which apparently is going to come up on her show tomorrow, Tuesday. She has a community perspective show, which her guest will be...
candidate for Board of Supervisors, Paul Elric. And actually, I went out to the New Brighton campground on Saturday the 30th and interviewed several of the campers and some of the community members that came down. While we were there, Paul Elric showed up. And he listened to many of the campers, and we had discussion. And when many of the campers expressed their frustration over that they were very willing to do work in exchange for a place to stay, and that they had been shut down on every suggestion that they had put forth. Paul Ellerick considered it, and he said, well, why don't we make an arrangement about the Porter Cessnon property? This is 66 acres of open space that was recently acquired. The community at large said that they very much wanted to keep this land as open space and not develop it. However, open space does require some sort of maintenance, and Scotch Broom is getting technical problems here.
We're experiencing technical difficulties.
Ah, that's better. What happened with Paul Ellerick suggested that we strike some sort of deal to have the homeless people move on to the Porter Cessnon property in exchange for maintenance, removing weeds and brush and trimming trees, cleaning up litter, all the sorts of things that the county has no money itself to do. So this could be a win-win situation, and I'm very encouraged to hear leaders in our community come forth with such common sense solutions to a situation that requires not only our compassion but our good sense.
Yeah, it's too bad that bureaucrats in power like Catherine Byers, who is still a council member, can't do better than simply saying that she thinks Mike had a wonderful idea by moving everybody out to Brighton Beach. That's I saw her last night during the New Year's festivities, and we won't criticize her for not taking my flyers. I mean, after all, she's read plenty of them, and she knows my position. But she is indeed on the board, on the, I should say, city council, and has power to speak out, if nothing else, to say, I do feel a deal was made with the campers. This is wrong. I mean, that kind of a voice in our community, I think, would have some significant impact. It might even produce an emergency meeting of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless Board to say, you made a contract, sorry, you got to keep it. Those campers may not be interested and probably aren't interested in coming back to the area, but there are other people who do need a place to stay at night. There are plenty of other people who need to use that property, and it's available. It should be available for use. So I just wish that the politicians would take their cue from Paul, what's his name?
Paul Ellerick.
Paul Ellerick. Paul, right on, Paul.
And he's running against Supervisor Walt Simons, who has come out with some of the most horrendous anti-homeless statements we've seen in the past month. Things that remind us of the Third Reich. Hitler was very down on homeless people, too.
As he should be. After all, let's not get into that. But remember that you out there in the audience are sitting around diddling your toes, watching television and picking your noses, or whatever you're doing. You have a...
Yeah, butter up your audience Robert.
I'm trying to treat you nice. I'll bring on the hard cop in just a minute. You have an opportunity to use your telephone, if you have a telephone, and give a call to City Hall. And City Hall is 429-3550, and they're on all the time. That is to say, their phone lines are on all the time. They haven't been on for years, actually, but the phone lines are available. They will record your calls. They will call you back and give you a fine cock and bull story, and it would be very amusing for you to hear. Mm-hmm. So give a call to your city council person and tell her or him that you want city council to enforce its emergency shelter ordinance, that you want city council members individually to speak out against a betrayal of the homeless, particularly when it's done by a group that is funded with city council money and that is also asking for more money from city council on the second Tuesday of this month. City council meeting at 3:30. Be there, by the way. I think that's January, 8th? Something like that. We have been running around the open-air shelter issue for a long time. Some of the campers out at the New Brighton Beach, the River Street refugees, will probably tell us, hey, that's old news. We don't care about that campground. Heck with it. We have one here who says it's a toxic dump, agreeing with Jane Immler, apparently, the other activist who you just heard a few moments ago on tape. Fact is, however, that that's the only spot right now where there is any reasonable prospect of pressuring people to open up territory in the next month or 2 months, or even, I would say, 3 or 4 months. That's my estimation, unless we have some revolution in town and Mishrumek becomes mayor.
Mayor Mushroomick sounds good, but frankly, I don't see it happening at the moment. Maybe Czar Mushroomick or Commissar, but no, none of that sounds very good. Let's leave this whole exciting issue of the open-air shelter for a moment, but not, of course, forever. And if you want to mention it on the phone lines are open at 427-3772. We want to turn to some other issues, at least I do. There is the issue of discrimination downtown. And Mushroomick has had some problems regarding bicycles, have you not, Mushroomick?
Oh, yes, I have.
Now, tell us about that.
Well, it seems to me when I went to buy a bicycle locker, that they said you can't have anything in it. Well, I figured, well, you know, in the weather here in Santa Cruz, that we have to have a sweater once in a while in your locker, and, well, you got a bicycle, you should have some tools, because you're pretty far away from wherever I live. And it seems to me I had a little box of change, and it was like that was too much in a bicycle locker that, you know, the bicycle fits in.
So what happened was, what did the authorities do to you here?
So they said that I cannot stay with the bicycle lockers and that they are kicking me out.
So they were not. They're telling you that your rental of a bicycle locker is now no longer allowed.
Right, because I had four or five things in the locker, and there's plenty of room for a bicycle in there.
And so how long have you been renting this locker before?
Since March, I believe.
And this is one of the lockers that's in the lot, right outside the parking lot where the Asian Rose is across
right,
from the Cafe
right.
Denny.
It seems that because there are homeless there and they found out that I'm homeless, they didn't want me around.
Well, they don't want to encourage homelessness. After all, you might crawl into the bicycle locker and, dare I say it, try to sleep legally.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No sleeping.
No sleeping.
Got to keep those disciplines in mind. You know?
Indiscriminately open these lockers intervals or what?
If they happen to drive by and see somebody with too much stuff in there, yeah, they'll have them open or throw them out right there. They just happen to come up at a time to grease the lockers and
so
make
they opened
them
your locker. They opened your locker without a search warrant, is that what you're saying?
Well, they did put something in the mail. By the time I got my mail, it was already open. Plus, I haven't had a key because I keep losing my keys. Being homeless, I don't have a place to keep things safe.
Well, I remember a year ago when I was doing demonstrations with Jack Lye John Hamilton, or Johnny Dredd, as he's now known to listeners of Free Radio Santa Cruz. We were picketing in front of the ID building and the bookshop Santa Cruz against their anti-homeless laws downtown, which are, of course, still the rule, unfortunately. And John wanted to get himself a bicycle locker, but eventually I think he may have decided not to because of the rather nasty attitude towards city officials that if anything, you know, so much as a popsicle stick other than a bicycle was found in that locker, he would be strung up by his testes at high noon. Let's say, rather, he would not be allowed to use the locker. So I remember this rather nasty anti-homeless approach coming out as early as a year ago.
So I'm wondering which Nazi is over there running the place.
He's in the Winston Churchill Nazis, eh? Mm-hmm. Well, I think to call Jim Lang, or Lebensraum Lang, as I've called him in the past, who's the head of the Parks and Rec Department, a Nazi, or a Nazi, as we Americans say, is, certainly poetic license. But it is true that he, for example, made sure, through his testimony, that when Brian Koepke, Bubba Brian, who's on the board of directors of the Homeless Community Resource Center, tried to extend showers for an hour so that homeless people could have 1 hour of showers a week, not a day, not a minute, but a week, and this is when there were no showers for homeless people back in 1989, it was Jim Lang who said, no, we couldn't allow Harvey West showers to be open to the homeless for 1 hour a week. When individuals wanted, merchants wanted to remove benches from the downtown to prohibit homeless and other poor people from lingering in front of their business, it was Jim Lang who had those benches removed without a public hearing. Jim is a longtime liberal. That's all I can say for him.
I think the bomb is being dropped, and I think the collateral damage is here. And I think to walk by a statue over a Hiroshima bomb is one thing, but to see the people in your own streets and your own collateral damage, what do you need a statue for?
Speaking of which, the issue was raised this summer, and it's still going to be relevant. The Scope Park, you may remember it, Scribner Park, the little park area with the big mural across from the town clock. which has a bench in it. It's right next to what used to be Zoccoli's Pasta House, I believe. The city tried to privatize that and give it away to the Garage Grill in 1989. We fought that successfully. Interestingly enough, we were kind of on the march in 1989. That was the same year we got the food programs legalized after they arrested dozens of us for serving illegal food at the town clock.
Not serving food.
Oh, yes. I got to admit it. I did. I ladled that rice. I gave those bagels. Oh, God, I did it.
It's a criminal activity. Oh, it's frightening.
It is. But right now, this year, there is a new move to privatize Scope Park, to give it away, to lease it off, to make it private rather than public space. We saw this happening all through the last 2 years as merchants have been able to decree which musicians can play in front of their coffee houses and which can't. It's actually technically illegal for anyone to perform in front of a open-air cafe. And of course, you see it happening all the time. But just let Skidmark's Bob or Phil Free pull out their guitar and guess what's going to happen. It's a discriminatory and discouraging situation. All the more reason for us to stand up and say, no, thank you. And that is what I'm encouraging people to do with respect to the ID building, which is
here.
Indeed. And they're there. Did you want to say something, Coral? You look like you're moving into the mic there. No?
All right. You invited me. I will.
Of course. Go ahead.
We just have to say that we can't take this anymore in some fashion, whether you can write better, whether you can speak on the phone better, whatever your talent is, or do art, do music, somehow just show where you stand, because it just is... This is emotional for me, and I really, it's hard for me to talk, but to just see this constant hypocrisy when I get the feeling that we're invited by the city council to express ourselves, and we're told that it's not that us and them exactly, it's just the hypocrisy that we are all a part of them, is what is very intimidating, because if you do go and wait through all the meetings and wait for your turn and all this, it's very slow, it's very methodical, it eliminates a lot of people who don't have the patience and the fortitude to just keep at these issues. And what I was hearing is, for example, about playing music, that the district attorney's office had been contacted about Bob's playing on the mall, but they weren't even interested in pressing charges. So a lot of these things that they do are just threats which aren't carried out. They give the tickets out, they don't act on them, nothing's really done about them, so it's sort of more like threat tactics.
Harassment, actually, yeah.
Harassment, we're going to have to expect that. I mean, some people will be put in jail for a few hours or overnight, but all these things just, they serve to eliminate people who won't stick up for what they believe in, and it just kind of keeps everybody in line.
It's easier, I think, for us to stick up for things together, and... It's a stick-up on the homeless rights here, and Stuart Martin is the big stick-up man, unfortunately, at the ID building. I have a flyer here that I've recently reissued. It's called Stuart Martin, Still Unwanted. It's actually kind of a parody of a wanted poster. And I'm going to read a little bit of this flyer, and then I'm going to play an interview I had with some of Martin's most recent victims, actually one of his most recent victims, and a witness to that victimization. Here first is the flyer. Stuart Martin works at the Integram Design, the ID building, 1515 Pacific Avenue, still unwanted. And what is he unwanted for? He's unwanted for assault and battery against refuse and resist worker David Dumars, February 1994. What's that about? Martin assaulted Dumars in front of many witnesses in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz across the street from the ID building, owned by Martin's mother, Mona. Dumars was drawing public attention to police arresting peaceful homeless protesters up the street who were part of the World Peace Vigil in mid-February 1994. Martin then called the police and accused Dumars of assaulting him. Dumars was subsequently maced at a distance of 6 inches by Sergeant Alufi. In October 1994, jurors told public defender John Thornton that Martin lied. Both the DA and the judge agreed to dismiss the assault charge, which was the original bone of contention. Dumars is still appealing the other charges. What else is Stuart Martin wanted for? I'm wanted for leading a campaign of harassment and intimidation against civil rights activists in the campaign to decriminalize poverty downtown. That's April through November of 1994, and apparently it hasn't stopped. In April, Martin called police to remove a legal political table staffed by Huff activist John Hamilton. Police found Martin's complaint groundless, but his campaign of harassment intensified. When tabling against the downtown ordinances resumed, Martin repeated his well-honed technique of false police calls for blocking the sidewalk. Police agreed with activists that Martin's complaints were groundless. Another charge against Martin, interfering with political tablers and innocent spectators as part of the Downtown Merchant Association's Privatize the Mall agenda, May of 1994. So the specifics: in May, two women workers for single-payer health care who were signing up supporters in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz were accosted by Martin, who demanded they leave. Martin also approached another woman who was completely uninvolved and accused her of being part of, quote, the group of demonstrators, insisting she leave the public area in front of the bookshop. Another charge against Martin, filing a false police report against local activist Robert Nurse to stop the boycott bigotry campaign, May 1994. The details. In a Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom boycott protesting Bookshop Santa Cruz owner Neil Coonerty's anti-poor downtown ordinances, May 29, 1994, Martin falsely accused Norris of calling him, quote, a Nazi and a follower of Adolf Hitler, unquote. Norris was twice arrested and taken to court 5 times before Judge Kelsey insisted the charges be dismissed for insufficient evidence in mid-October. The selective boycott against merchants who support sit-near-a-store-go-to-jail laws, which continue, by the way, also includes Atlanta's Fantasy World, Game-A-Lot, Artisans, Cat and Canary, Bookshop Santa Cruz, and Staff of Life. In other words, don't patronize those stores. Or if you do, go in and tell them that you're about to stop unless they change their support for sit-near-a-shop-go-to-jail laws. Another charge against Stuart Martin, or another, I believe, verified accusation, harassing and battering an elderly downtown resident, June 1994. And the details. Martin reportedly accosted, abused, interrogated, and blocked the path of Reggie Kosica, an elderly local resident, near a dumpster back of the ID building with demands to know what he was doing there. Kosica said he was throwing away a piece of litter. Attorneys report the two filed charges of battery against each other. Kosica later went to the hospital with heart problems. I actually never interviewed Kosica, but I got this information from attorneys involved. Challenging food activist Chris Brosda to fight, then calling police to arrest him, July 1994. The specifics. Brosda entered Martin's shop to peacefully discuss with him Martin's actions against Norse and reported Martin threatened him and invited him to, quote, step outside to settle matters. Brosda was subsequently convicted of battery for spilling coffee on Martin. I don't know how strong that one is, but I read it for the record. Another charge, attacking street musicians for protest music with calculated disturbing the peace charges. October 1994, we might even say October 1995. They did this a year later, although I don't think Martin was involved this year in those particular charges. But by 1994, he was. On October 19th, Martin orchestrated a felony complaint of making terrorist threats, quote-unquote, against Skidmark's Bob Duran of the Just Kidding Band, who was singing in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz. As in the case with Norris, police neither informed nor warned Bob of any violation at the time. Yet within 2 weeks, Bob was arrested and jailed on 2 counts of disturbing the peace. Police have continued to harass Bob with new such charges, one in early December 95 in front of Woolworths. Radical singer Phil Free has also been twice charged with disturbing the peace for the content of politically pointed songs like Hospitality Nazis. Free, however, was not accused by Martin in any of these instances. Another charge, conspiring to deprive ordinary Santa Cruzans of their rights to assemble, petition, and peacefully use public spaces downtown, November 1994. On October 18, 1994, Martin and Bookshop Santa Cruz owner Neil Coonerty approached Juan Santos, who was distributing Yes on Air literature in front of Georgiana's Cafe and giving out political pins. Coonerty demanded Santos leave or he would be arrested under the new Downtown Ordinance 9413, Municipal Code 5.43.020E. The Coonerty Cafe Law, which makes peaceful tabling illegal in front of open-air cafes. And now we get down to the most basic and most recent and most egregious episode, really, discriminating against homeless people through them maligning, expelling, and assaulting them. Let's get the specifics on this. I actually wrote only a very small description of it, but you're going to hear a much larger description in the tape that is to be played subsequent to my reading of this flyer. On December 22, 1995, that's about a week and a half ago, Housing Now activist Linda LeMaster, or Lighthouse Linda as I call her, reported that Martin shoved a homeless panhandler down the street half a block away from his store. The panhandler reported that when he tried to buy an item in Martin's ID building, he was called a thief, evicted, and told all homeless people are thieves. His girlfriend was given similar treatment later. When the man suggested police be called, Martin smirked, "Who do you think they'll believe?" So that's the man we're talking about, Stuart Martin, the manager of the ID building. He's a rather clean-cut looking guy with a thin mustache, just walking to the ID building and asked to talk to him. I'm sure that he'd be happy to respond to these charges. Let's see if he does. And now let's hear a little bit of what this is all about in an interview on December 22nd. Actually, we can wait on that for a moment because I think Mishrimik has a comment or two.
Yeah, back earlier this year when there was a table out in front of Martin's place, I found out who Martin was. Well, after Daryl across the street was thrown out, the man who had the bamboo rickshaw and made flutes in the streets, well, he said he didn't even want to contest it, so he left when Martin crossed the street to tell him. But it seemed to me and Martin got eye to eye to say, hey, this ain't right. So one day I was crossing the street, catty corner from where he is, and he comes out in the truck and tries to run me over. And I got a chance to see how Martin really is. Well, Martin, I've let you go down the street a few times, and everybody knows that I've stopped 34 fights, but I've also gone and gotten the bad guys. And if you're going to be a bad guy, watch out. Mushroom mix around.
Another case to add to the Martin dossier, apparently. You want to say something, Becky?
You've invited him here to answer these charges?
He refuses to talk to me on the phone, but I suggested that a mediator give him a call, as well as calling the Downtown Association and telling them that the boycott may well be in the offing. There is a boycott in my mind against the ID building, but it's rather poorly publicized, as well as against Bookshop Santa Cruz, Artisans, Cat and Canary, Game a Lot, a number of other stores or businesses downtown that support the anti-homeless laws. However, I haven't heard back from Kim, the mediator, as to whether Martin has responded. I doubt he has. But no, I have not specifically invited him to be on the air, but we could call him right now and invite him if you'd like, Becky.
Well, he certainly should have a chance to respond to some of the things you've said. It's only fair.
Right. Would you like to perhaps talk to him yourself and tell him he's on the air and then see what he says?
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to.
Okay, well, we can give Stuart a call. He does have a phone number. In fact, what we need to do is find that number. We'll be doing that while we play this tape, and you can kind of keep abreast of that while we try to dig up Stuart Martin's number. Actually, today is New Year's Day. I don't think we're going to find him in his store, but who knows? Maybe we will.
Well, I don't know. Those merchants, they like to make money every day of the year.
All right, let's see what we can do. And here is a tape on this whole issue. Again, we may not hit it right in the middle, so be patient with us.
Clean porta potties, and if need be, some straw.
December 22nd, later in the day, here's an interview with a man on the street who was apparently physically abused by Stuart Martin.
Yeah. What were the circumstances? I mean, did he walk up to you and say, did he say anything before?
Couple days ago, Christmas shopping, and I went to ID to see if I could get some stuff, and he comes up to me and he's all, when you're ready to leave, you can pay for everything and get out of my store. And I'm all, excuse me, what do you mean by that? And he's all, well, you're homeless and all homeless people steal.
That's a quote?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, well, you know, I might be homeless, but I'm not a bad person and I don't rip people off. And he's all, well, all homeless people are alike, and you gotta be ripping me off because you can't make money to pay for stuff in here. And I'm all, well, I got money and I'm just looking for a present for my mom. And he's all, well, get out. And then my girlfriend.
What day was this?
It was like 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And then my girlfriend went today to get something.
What's her first name?
Sam. And he accused her of stealing and searched through all her stuff and then kicked her out. And she went to the cops about it, and they said to get his name and all that. And she went back to get his name, and he wouldn't give it to her. And then he's all, let's go talk to the cops. And she's all, okay, because I just did. And they told me to get your name. And he took her down to the cops and said a bunch of lies about her, said that he caught her trying to steal stuff, which he didn't, because we don't steal. I mean, why steal when we have the money to pay for stuff, you know? I don't know.
And when did this incident happen?
Today.
About what time?
About an hour ago.
And this is what you saw in it?
Yeah. And
I saw him. A few yards that way.
Slender
this,
master
this
figure.
This side of the theater line, that vertical
standing
side.
Standing on the sidewalk next to the red fence. It closes what once was the Cooper House lot. Go ahead.
And this is at least five or six shops from the ID building.
Right.
And stood going like this and trying to shove him and pushing both this young woman and him.
Pushing and Chris and Sam?
Yeah, and Chris is saying, I don't steal. And, you know, he's trying to talk to the man in spite of the man's physical, you know, he was using his body to shove him.
I had
an arrangement to meet my son where that juggler was juggling with fire,
yeah.
And so I just happened to be waiting on that corner. But, I mean, Stuart Martin is five or six shops from his own business.
Now, where exactly is this on this side?
And when I heard...
Linda, is this on his
side? This side and half a dozen yards
that way.
This
on the bookshop, Santa Cruz side of the street.
You see where that band is?
We're trying to do a tape recording here, Linda.